of them tomorrow. Who's lived that lesson? Oh, yeah. Make them sweet, because you're going to be chewing on them tomorrow. Oh, yeah, it's going to come back around. David hurt, crushed, attacked, misrepresented, a man after God's own heart. David, a king, he said, set a watch before my lips, O God, and keep the door of my lips. Let the meditations of my heart and the word of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Jesus said, by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. One day you will give an account for every idle word that has come across that threshold and those lips and that mouth. There was a young woman who left the church. A friend said to her, don't you miss the church? We sure miss you. Why don't you come back? She said, I want to, but I can't. Well, why not? I know everybody would welcome you with open arms. Nobody is holding any kind of feelings. You don't understand, sister. I've spoken too many words. I've said some things that weren't necessarily true. I'd like to tell you something this morning. Don't let the devil pull you down in that mistake or that trap. It is a mistake to say the wrong thing. And everyone here, every one of you here has said the wrong thing at some point in your life. All of us. But it's a far bigger mistake. It's a far worse mistake to let your pride lock you in where you can never say, I'm sorry. If I've done anything to hurt you, I'm sorry. Do you know what happens when you say that and you let all barriers of defense go and you just say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? That person, yeah, you know, I forgive you. I'm sorry too. If there's anything I've done to hurt, I'm sorry. We're in this together. Our goal is not to bury you when you're down. We're here to pick you up and to help you. Yeah, we're in this together. I shot a turkey one time with a bow and arrow. I was very proud of myself. You pin them right between the back of their shoulder blades when they're looking at you and bend down, and they'll stick to the ground. It's the only way I've been able to kill them. I've done it 4 times, and I'm proud of that fact. But that little dude wasn't quite dead. He had a little twitch going on. Do you know all those other turkeys, they flew away, and then they came back because he kept twitching? And they didn't help him up. They didn't pull him out of there. They started kicking him. And they started spurring him. Yeah. They'll kill you. We don't have a church like that. Our church is not like that. Our church is made up of love and mercy. I'm excited to tell people, yeah, I go to harvest time. We're not here to judge you. We're here to love you and help you find your way. We're all lost. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through the spoken word and the word of God, we're going to make it to heaven. Our goal is to make it to heaven. Do we have different personalities? Yes, we do. Do we have different backgrounds? Yes, we do. Do I get on some of your nerves sometimes? I'm sure I do. And I'm sorry if I do. But I love you. Pastor loves you. The brothers and sisters sitting next to you love you. Welcome home. We're here for you. We're here for one another. I need you. You need me. We're in this together. Make your words sweet today. Atone and be restored. If you've hurt somebody, if you've said something maybe that was off, it's just maybe you were having a bad moment. We all have bad moments. I'm sorry. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed and then call them up and say, I'm sorry. Live a life of relationship and togetherness. Enjoy one another here and now. So Jephthah, he goes to battle with Haman. You ought to see them fight. They destroyed 20 cities in just a few days. They left mountains of slaughtered Ammonites everywhere. Why was Jephthah willing to fight for them? I begin to think this over. Why would he go fight for these men that turned him away and kicked him out of his house and turned their back on him, and he had to go find refuge in a cave? You think the reason those elders came up there was because they were sorry for the way they had treated him? Not on your life. They were transparent hypocrites. Jephthah knew what they were. He knew what they were doing. He knew they didn't love him. They just wanted to use him. He knew all of this going into it. What would you have done in that? Let's rephrase that. What have you done in that situation? Do you know what Jephthah did? He stepped above petty issues. He stepped onto the high road of Christian character. Jephthah knew there was a cause. Esther knew there was a cause. David knew there was a cause. People of God, we will never succeed until we see beyond personality, beyond petty differences, and realize there is a banner to be carried. Yes, there is. There is a battle to be fought. There is a cause to be championed. Regardless the issue, we should say, I'm going to stand for God and give it all I've got. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. I'm not shutting up. I'm going to live for God no matter what. No matter what. So Jephthah, he goes out. While he's in battle, he does an amazing thing. He makes a promise to God. He said, I'll make a vow. If you give me victory over Ammon, God, the first thing that comes through the door of my house when I return, I'll sacrifice it to you. And when he returns victorious, the first person that walked out through the door of his house was his beautiful teenage daughter, the apple of his eye. His wife was dead. He had no other children. She was his one and only, and he loved her very much. And when he saw her, the Bible says, he took his garments and he tore them and he fell to the ground and he said, oh daughter, in this moment you have done more to me than all the enemies together could have done. But nevertheless, hear this, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. I'm not going back. Don't you know it's always been men of reckless, extreme commitment that have ever done anything for God? The church isn't dying of recklessness. It's dying of middle-of-the-road restraint. Our voice in America used to be heard. Not that way anymore. Do you know there's a man trying to get the national anthem taken out of before a ball game? They're trying to take In God We Trust off of money. They're trying to take anything to do with God out of a court proceeding or out of a trial situation. We're not dying of recklessness. We're dying of middle of the road restraint. It's dying of meek, mild-mannered, backboneless, bloodless, scaredy cats. We've become afraid that our God won't do what he said he would do. We live in a shell. We come to church and we cut a rug and have church here and have the Word of God, but we go out and we clam up. We go in the store and we clam up. We're all guilty of it. You know, the Bible praises reckless givers. It's just stuff I've been dealing with this week. Jesus found a little woman in a temple who gave her all. Jesus picked her out of all the givers. While the CPAs and the auditors were sitting over there thinking, man, that's crazy. What's she going to live off? She's given everything she has. Jesus singled out a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene who took an alabaster box of ointment worth 300 pence and she broke it over him and she anointed him. Recklessness. People with reckless abandon, not uncontrolled, undisciplined lives, but strength put into harness for service through the Word of God. Jesus said wherever the gospel is preached, they're going to talk about this woman. Jesus singled out a little boy who gave his all. He gave 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Moses stood on a mountain before God and said, God, I know they've sinned, but before your fiery judgment comes, God, if you won't save Israel right here, blot me out of thine book. Reckless men and women of devotion, men of extreme commitment. The generations before my generation, many of you are here. In fact, you're here today because you are committed. You get what I'm preaching about this morning. You've stood for right for a long time. But the ones that are coming after me, I'm afraid if we don't have a realization in just a life moment, they're not sensitive anymore. They've got to get in touch with God. Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. They that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You want to hear the translation of that according to the gospel, Brother Chris? Here you go. You're going to get it because I have the microphone at least for another 5 minutes. There's a man who gives away more than most people think is wise, prudent, economical, or seemingly affordable. He gives and then he gives. And the more he gives, the more he's got. That's why I am so amazed and blessed when Pastor gets up and opens the Word of God and he begins to feed me. Because I just sit in awe and just, my God, where does he get this thought? Lord, you've been so good. You've given him this ability and understanding of the Word of God that he can feed us. And you know what? The next service I come back and it's the same thing all over again. Why? Because he doesn't hold it all in right here. He gives it out. And he keeps getting more because he keeps giving it out. And there's depth and there's understanding and there's wisdom in the words. And then you have some that they're like a sponge. They're a withholder. God will give them something. They do well throughout the year. But at the end of the year, they're further behind than when they started at the beginning of the year. Why? Because the touch of Almighty God's blessing on a little bit is much more and will do much more than the absence of God's touch on the fortunes of a man who will try to do it his own way. Victory came to the man named Jephthah who said, I'll give God the first. The first tenth belongs to God. The first day of the week belongs to God. The first in your affections belong to God. God says, if you'll give him the first, he will give you the victory, the victory, the victory, the victory. Jephthah didn't give his first though. It's easy to give your first if you have 9/10 left. It's easy to give one day if you have 6 left. Jephthah gave his only. His only. He could have said, well, it was a secret vow. You know, no one heard it except for me and God. He could have said, well, it's a vow that was made in the heat of battle. But a man might say anything then. He could have said, well, I meant it for me, but this affects the life of someone else. But Jephthah said, and I quote, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I'm not gonna go back. Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, I cannot. David said to Saul's armor, I cannot. The 3 Hebrew children said, we will not. Daniel, facing certain death at the mouth of a lion's den, would not. The apostle said to the compromising in the temple, we cannot speak, but that the words which we have seen and heard, do you know what we need? We need a generation of men and women, boys and girls who can look every popular and prevailing wind of applause, consent and acceptance in the face and turn to the cross of self-denial and say, I cannot. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to find my way to an altar and I'm going to serve God. No more patty cake church. No more going through the motions. No more, well, it's convenient this Sunday, but you know, next week the football game's on. It's on every week. You catch up with all of that. I have opened my mouth to the Lord. And I'm not going back. What could we do? What could we do, Pastor, if we had an army of Jephthahs in Carlos, Louisiana? An army of men and women who aren't just making emotional vows, but they're committing to the cause. You know, you may have never heard dirty word from the pulpit, but I'm going to have some dirty words this morning. Sister Baggett, hold your ears. You're going to get me later. I have a list of dirty words that I'd like to read before you. These are words that aren't popular in my generation anymore. These are words that you might have grown up with, but you teach a kid that now. No, no, no. Dirty word number one, sacrifice. We can hardly even speak about it, much less do it. Number two, affliction. Number three, self-denial. Number four, cross-bearing. Number five, duty. Number six, consistency. Number seven, loyalty. Number eight, faithfulness. Number nine, obedience. Number 10, respect. Number 11, pure. Number 12, righteous. Number 13, loving. Merciful. Prayer warrior. Good steward. Witness. Soul winner. Don't you know that's the stuff that character is made up of? I'm closing, Brother Brian. There's a little boy. Got switched from his crib into a regular bed. Every night he would roll out of the bed and he'd hit the floor. His mother would pick him up, put him back. This happened for a week or more. Finally, one day the mother asked the little boy, she said, "Son, why are you falling? Why do you keep falling out of your bed? Now, you're a big boy. You can stay in the bed." He said, "Mama, I figured it out. I just stayed too close to where I get in the bed." Do you know why some of us have lives that never count? Broken promises, forgotten altars, neglected commitments, vows that never get the first mile, much less break the finish line. It's because we've stayed too close to where we got in. We get a transformation of the body, but we forget to get the renewing of the mind. We have enough salvation in our life and enough church in our life, and we'll hear a message here or there to make us feel safe. Enough religion to make us feel right. We'll experience a touch of God every once in a while, and oh, that was great, church. What a great message, preacher. But we walk out and our lives are still under our own direction. Jephthah sold out. He paid the price. He opened his mouth to the Lord. He wasn't going back. I want you to be aware that I made a vow to the Lord this week. I'm not giving up on this generation. I'm not giving up on your families or your friends. Disappointed, frustrated, hurt, heard a million excuses. Let me testify to you. Oh yeah. But I'm not giving up. Satan, you can't have our families anymore. Satan, you can't have our children anymore. You can't have our loved ones anymore. I take authority in the name of Jesus. Get behind us. Leave us alone. As you stand all over the building, I know you're committed because you're here. faith. You're sold out to Jesus. Maybe the years have worn thin on you. Maybe you get to a point like I have this week where I just had to have face to face with God and say, God, I don't understand why they keep canceling the Bible study. God, I don't understand why I can't get them in church. I don't understand, God, why I've asked hundreds of people to come. And, oh yeah, we'll be there. And then they don't show up. But God, you do. And I've opened my mouth. There's like Jephthah. And I'm not going back. I'm going to be here every time the doors are open. I'm going to get my blessing and my touch, and I'm going to be fed every time. And in due season, because I'm not giving up on them, and neither are you, they're going to come. And when they do, you're just going to, the joy of the Lord, maybe you've been committed for years. Maybe you've lived for God for years. But today, I challenge you to recommit yourself to God. I challenge you to recommit your family, your future, your children, your grandchildren to God today. Would you do it? Would you do it this morning? Right where you are, just lift your hands up and ask Him. Lord, tell Him, Lord, I recommit to You, God. Lord, I give myself to You. I give my heart to You, God. I want You to know that I'm in this for the long haul. People might frustrate us. Friends might fail us. Family might disappoint us. But God, we're committed to the cause. We're going to have revival in Carlos, Louisiana, Harvest Time Worship Center, regardless. Lord, we're going to put forth the effort. We're going to love people unconditionally. Completely. Lord, we want to be with You. We want to walk with You and talk with You. I ask You right now, God, touch each and every family under the sound of my voice. Lord, this commitment goes beyond just coming to church, but Lord, living this life in the home, in the job, in the community. God, I'm going to give You everything. I'm going to give You all. As they begin to sing this morning, I wonder if you just grab your hand of the neighbor beside you and just pray for them. Lord, touch my brother. Touch my sister right now, God. God, let these words become important to this generation that's coming up behind us. Let us be sensitive, God, to Your presence and Your power. Let us have our focus completely on You. I'm going to give You all, Jesus. I'm gonna give you